Our reading today is from John 10, verses 1 through 10. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained to them, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Good morning again, Living Water Church. You know, it's nice to be in a warm space. I understand it's going to get pretty chilly this week. And before I start in, again, I'm forgetting about my video. So let's start with our opening video. Thank you, Tommy. In the middle of this series, Fact or Friction, and I'm sure you guys don't have any friction in your life, and so this is like, I'm not getting anything from this, but you know, I seem to have this friction that shows up from time to time, and I think it really speaks to us where we are, what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And so just getting honest with the fact that when life gets tough, when it gets stressful, when the temperatures kind of rise and it gets tense and we experience this friction in our life, we have this tendency to slowly move away from the truth about our situation we're in, what's true about the relationships we have, and we begin to develop this skewed perspective in the midst of all that friction that can replace the truth. And it can become our reality. The circumstances in our lives just have this way of tainting the way that we view people around us. And even taints the way we view about ourselves when we have this friction. And so last week we talked about friction in the family. How in the midst of stress and challenges we can be tempted to put ourselves, our needs, the way we see things and how it should be above everyone else in the family, which then can cause relationship breakdowns. And so instead, we need to learn to react the way Jesus did, putting others first, seeking their best as we work toward healing. And then also learning to trust that our prayers for our family are being heard by God. And God is working on our behalf for our family, which gives us hope. Well, today we're going to look at one of the most vulnerable relationships in our life, where we can just become overwhelmed in the midst of stress and friction, and that's the marriage relationship. And so our vows will be tested, and our love can wane in the middle of stress, in the middle of challenges. And if we don't do the things we need to do to rekindle the flame, it can really have a difficult negative effect on our marriage. And so that's why we're going to be looking at this stress and this friction in marriages. And just like kind of like on Mother's Day when I preach about mothers, or Father's Day when I preach about fathers, it can be tempting for those of you maybe who aren't married yet or are no longer married to say, okay, this message must not be for me, so I'm just going to kind of check out on this one and start on my to-do list for Monday. And I hope that you don't do that, because I think that you can find some things in this sermon that God can use if you're just open to hearing it. But let's just start with prayer first. Heavenly Father, I just want to acknowledge and recognize that there might be someone this morning, a couple that just is really struggling, or maybe their marriage is just hanging by a thread. And so I pray that as we talk about these things and these stresses that come about in our marriages, that you would help us to learn to love one another well, even in the midst of friction. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So any couple that's been married for more than 5 minutes can attest to the fact that the process of becoming one, the process of putting two people together into one marriage, it can be a very difficult and challenging thing to do, let alone adding all the other things that come in at life, like family relationships and our jobs and house responsibilities and our relationship with God and our church responsibilities. All these things, children, work, all these things can just make marriage a very challenging thing at certain times in our life. And we really need a real plan to overcome it. And one of the causes of this friction can be that we're just trying to juggle way too many things. And so I want to start this morning with a short little video. And as we're watching this video, I want you just to kind of go through your mind and think, what are all the things that I'm juggling right now? What is it in my life? My job, my family, my friends, you know, my responsibilities in the community, my responsibilities at church, my relationship with God, my hobbies. This kind of get all these things that are going on in your life that you're trying to juggle, and see if you're doing any better than this guy. All right, so I was just juggling, you know, in your life. Did that video give you any anxiety, maybe, as you're thinking of the things that you're trying to juggle right now and how challenging it can be to keep all those things going, especially when you feel like you're doing it all on a ball with something on top of your head at the same time? And so it could just be difficult, and it can just be a challenge. And if things in life are, you know, the way that the marriage is meant to be is when we have these challenges, or both people are kind of pushing together and pushing whatever those challenges are. But many times what ends up happening when stress comes is that one person gets on one side and the other person gets the other, and you start pushing against each other. And in the end, either you don't get anywhere or one of the two ends up getting run over. And so we want to kind of look at these things in our life. Because see, in marriage, teamwork really does make the dream work. And of course, that dream is for us to have a healthy marriage, to have a healthy family, to not have these constant friction things in our life. But really, it's all about the teamwork. And so marriage, it's like a three-legged race. If one of the two tried to push ahead without their partner's cooperation, you're destined to both fall on your face. We have to learn to be in rhythm with one another, and it's not easy, but when you get that right, you begin to move as one. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 speaks to this team effort between two people, where it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. And sometimes we have to remind each other that we're in this thing of marriage together. Because see, it can be very easy to go to a negative place with our spouse when friction begins to develop in the relationship. We can be tempted to start focusing on all the things that are wrong with them and how if we could just fix them, the situation would be so much better. We'd smooth out the friction. But of course, if you go there, if you start the nitpicking and the nagging and the shaming, complaining and the tearing down, all you end up is increasing the friction in the relationship. So no matter what comes your way, it's always so much better to face that with your spouse by your side instead of going against each other. It's like being on a sports team, maybe not the sports team we saw last night, but a sports team where you have just a lot of confidence, where you know you're not in that game alone, where you're working together, where you're lifting each other up, and when you're encouraging each other. You know, when you're weak, your spouse can step up and be the strong one. And when they're struggling, you can be there to encourage them and help them and lift them up. This mentality, this truth is one that we have to choose each and every day. Because see, left to ourselves, what we tend to do is we slide back into just wanting to do things our own way, in our own time and just demanding things the way we like them. And of course that just leads to frustration. When one spouse perceives that the other has either checked out of the relationship or where they've just kind of dug in and want things their own way. So it's a commitment to be for each other, because teamwork does make the dream work. And then it's all about the attitude. The way you see your marriage and the way you see your spouse, all that is largely dictated by your attitude. I mean, the circumstances in our life, we can't always choose those circumstances. But we do have a choice when it comes to our attitude about those circumstances. And the challenge is that we often see what we want to see and we don't see what we don't want to see. And so we've got to pay attention to the mentality and the attitudes that we're bringing to our marriage relationship. So I have a quiz that I want you to kind of go through in your own mind to kind of help you determine the attitude that you bring toward your spouse. And I have these questions in the message notes if you're kind of following along. And so the first question is, how easily do you celebrate your spouse's successes? You know, when they're promoted at work, when people are saying great things about your spouse, when things are just going well in their world, how easy is it for you to celebrate with them? Second question, what is one thing that brings your spouse joy? Do you know? What's something that makes them smile? What's something that makes them look forward to the next day? Here's question three. When's the last time you expressed your love for your spouse in a tangible way? Not just with words, but actually doing something that let your spouse know that you love them. Question four. How often do you pray for your spouse? That can be an ouch question. Hopefully the answer is often, but it can be easy for that to fall off your prayer list. Number five, what is your spouse stressed out about right now? What's making it difficult for them to fall asleep at night? What's causing them internal stress right now? See, the answers to these questions reveal just how invested you are in your marriage. If you don't know the answers, it might suggest that maybe you're kind of taking a step back. They simply point out how aware we are or unaware of the internal world of the one we vowed to love until death do we part. This investment begins with this attitude of cooperation and curiosity and care and love. Paul speaks to this mentality as he writes to the people living in Colossae. He's expressing to them how to love one another well. And this is a topic in the early church that was really important because people were watching them to see if this Jesus movement was real, to see if it was authentic, especially if it would manifest itself in relationships, to see if it was legitimate. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 13 says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." Paul begins this segment of Scripture by reminding us that God chose them. We didn't choose God. We have just simply responded to the invitation to be holy through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It was God doing the choosing. In this passage, Paul is talking kind of in general terms about loving everybody well, but I think this discussion is even more important in a relationship, in a marriage. When friction arises, when we're tempted to forget what is true about one another, we need to remind ourselves that we have been chosen by God and we're deeply loved by him, and this love from God is the basis of how we love each other. Without trusting that God loves us and without allowing that love to just permeate our lives, we really have little hope of being able to love one another well. It is because of this love that Paul gives us this very important instruction in verse 12 that we must choose what we wear. So thinking about what we wear, do you remember back when you were young? You know, those days right before the first day of school. You know, when you'd have all those butterflies in your stomach as this new school year was beginning, and you're thinking about, you know, what teacher will I have? Will my friends be in my class? But of all the things that you worry about, the most important, the thing that was most on your mind, most likely, was what am I going to wear that first day of school, right? And you go clothes shopping beforehand, and then that night before school, you kind of put out the outfit you're going to wear and hope that your best friend doesn't wear the same thing, and you just kind of plan it all out, make sure you're ready for school to start. And so that is what Paul is getting at when he's talking about putting on these clothes. He instructs his readers that you must. It's not an option. You've got to clothe yourselves with. That phrase right there is from the Greek word enduo. And in that word is this connotation of sinking into a garment. It's picking out the clothes to wear. Only we aren't choosing the shirt and jeans. We're choosing what kind of attitudes that we're going to put on for the day. He tells us to clothe yourselves, to slip over our heads and onto our bodies tender-hearted mercy, which is compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And these different attitudes can be quickly forgotten about in the midst of strife in your marriage. Because see, we don't naturally put these things on when we're in the middle of an argument. You know, we have this tendency to just kind of forget about these clothes that we're supposed to be wearing. We have to intentionally choose them, and we have to intentionally express them. And so just think back to the last challenge that was in your relationship, and when you were stressed out, and maybe your spouse asked you to do something that you didn't want to do. How did you respond? With frustration? You know, maybe irritation, maybe some sarcasm. Well, how about instead choose compassion or patience? Or maybe it's been a bad day and your spouse forgot to do something that was important. How do you respond? With anger or annoyance? What if we chose compassion instead? In verse 14, Paul introduces us to an incredibly important aspect of a successful marriage, and it's putting on forgiveness. He says, make allowance for each other's faults. You know, you've got them, I've got them, we all have different faults, we all have different strengths and weaknesses. Make allowance for that, Paul says. Put on forgiveness. It doesn't say to forgive because they deserve it. He doesn't say to forgive because then you'll get what you want. He doesn't say forgive because then somehow magically your spouse will become the perfect husband or the perfect wife. He says to do it because you have already been forgiven by God. We forgive because we've been forgiven. We can forgive because we have received forgiveness. And then he continues with another key to your marriage, Colossians 3, verses 14 through 16a, and it says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. So there's the secret ingredient. This is what binds this all together. This is what enables a marriage to navigate the highs and lows that comes with life. It's love. Love, it's the glue. So Paul says, clothe yourselves in love because it holds all these other attitudes in its place. It's the bonding agent. It's like super glue. It's like cement. And love is secure. And so the word love that Paul uses here is that Greek word agape. And this word for love, it expresses just a self-giving nature. It's the love that God has for us. It's the love that's sacrificial. When we love selflessly, we're then able to have compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, even in the midst of the worst of frictions. So Paul also mentions gratitude as a key to this love. Usually, you know, when people first get married, they're in that what we call the honeymoon phase, where everything is great and your spouse is perfect until one day they aren't. And every couple kind of goes through that excitement and euphoria and then see it wane from time to time, and it kind of goes in cycles. And so this is the time when each couple has to choose to be thankful when that friction begins to develop. Each couple needs to remind themselves of why they got into this relationship in the first place. So I have a memory exercise for us to do for those of us who are married. I want you to think back on your relationship with your spouse all the years. And I want you to pinpoint three memories that make you thankful. Thankful in it, thankful for your spouse, thankful just as the emotion that comes. And there's a place in your message notes where you can kind of jot down. You can use a code if you don't want anyone to know what you're writing down. But kind of put those things out. What are three memories from your marriage that make you thankful for your spouse? Now, I have a bunch of memories that I could choose from, but here are three of mine. Number one, how Cheryl helped me through the shock of losing my daughter. The second memory that came to my mind was when we found out from the doctors they had gotten all of Cheryl's cancer with their surgery of removing her appendix and part of her colon. And then three, all the things that we've done together as a couple, building and enjoying our cabin that we have up north. And just how we've done that as a team. Those are three memories of many, many that I could have chosen from that just kind of came to my mind first. What are three memories that make you feel thankful for your spouse? How did those memories make you feel then? And how does reminding yourself about those moments of gratitude affect your relationship now? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So Paul ends this section of Scripture, chapter 3, by reminding us why we love the way that we do. And particularly for marriages, this charge is the main point. The reason we're to pay a close attention to how we speak and what we do in relationship to one another is because the marriage is meant to be a picture of the kind of relationship that exists between Jesus and the church. And this comparison is made throughout the New Testament. But especially Ephesians chapter 5 speaks to it most clearly, where it talks about wives and husbands mutually being submitting to one another, and each spouse is called to serve one another and love one another the way that Christ loves the church. So how husbands love, care for, serve, and support their wives shows the world and your kids and grandkids what Jesus' love is like. And how wives love, care for, serve, and support their husbands shows the world and our kids and grandkids what Jesus' love looks like. Our marriages are more than just about some rings and a cake and romance. They are about the kingdom of God. Teamwork makes the dream work, and it's all about our attitude. We're to choose what we wear, and we find that love is the glue, and then the last piece is to fight the friction. Fight the friction, not each other. Because see, when we decide to do that and we begin to tear down our spouse, what we're doing in the process is we're tearing down our marriage. When we become critical of our spouse, we're destroying the foundation of our marriage. And the truth is that there is an adversary who is bent on harming and destroying our marriage. It's because of the significance of the institution of marriage that the evil one will do everything he can to break down the commitment between spouses. Because see, Satan knows if he can destroy your marriage, the ripple effects of that will wound your kids, your extended family, your friends, your church, and on it goes. So could it be that the tension and friction that you're experiencing in your marriage is not really your spouse's fault, but the enemy of your soul's influence in your relationship? Could it be that you're fighting the wrong thing in your marriage? And so we heard Patty read for us the first 10 verses of John, talking about Jesus being the gate, and he's watching over us as his sheep, the shepherd of the flock. And then we come to that last verse in John 10:10. Let me read that again. It says, the thief's purpose, the thief that's trying to get through the gate to get to the sheep, purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's the goal for evil, is to kill, steal, and destroy. So couples must fight to keep friction from crippling their connection. Because when it's there too long, that's what ends up happening. Jesus has come to give life, and life to the full. Full life, eternal life. He wants to help you develop a strong foundation so that you can carry the heavy load of life. But for that to happen, it's going to have to take a consistent, intentional, and sacrificial effort on both people's parts, both the husband and wife. A marriage will fail if only one person in that marriage is making this effort. It might not lead to divorce, but it will not be a successful marriage in God's eyes. If it's just one person, it takes both people investing each other. So choose to invest in your spouse. This is a fact that can help ease the friction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just lift up marriages today, we just have to acknowledge that it's a challenging thing. living with other people, being Christ-like in difficult circumstances, choosing attitudes that are sacrificial when the sinful nature wants us to choose attitudes that would serve ourselves, defend ourselves, make ourselves feel better. So as we think of relationships, whether it's a marriage relationship or whether it's a friendship between friends, whether it's a family relationship between brothers and sisters or cousins, or whether it's a relationship at work between coworkers, these principles all apply of putting others first, of wearing attitudes that are Christ-like, choosing it each day when we so much want to choose the other, especially when the other person is not doing the same. God, would you give us the strength to walk this road that you've called us to walk? Would you help us to choose forgiveness instead of retribution? Even when we've had to choose that many, 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 many times. Father, I pray for healing of relationships, even right now. I pray for healing of memories. I pray for healing of wounds from words spoken or actions done. And I pray that we'd be able to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness between us and you, God, and in forgiveness where we extend it to those who are in our life who really need it, even if they don't understand it yet, even if they're still the one that's wounding. May we choose forgiveness, even when it hurts. And we thank you. God, we thank you. We thank you for your love, how you have forgiven us. May that understanding be the strength at which we walk upon in all our relationships. And may we try one more time. May we have the strength one more time to do our very best to create peace in the home, peace amongst our friends, our coworkers, our relatives. May we walk in that. May you just give us that endurance, that healing inside that chooses the difficult thing. Now we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.